Well, hi again, everybody. It is time for Laker Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. And Damon, coming off, I guess it'd be a tough weekend because you got one of a possible 4 points. But other than the first 7 minutes on Saturday night, dead even against Michigan Tech. In fact, if you're honest about it, you outplayed them in that second game for two periods. You outshot them 37 to 20, and just a tough time to take a 6-2 loss there on Saturday night, but a 1-1 tie on Friday. And your assessment of those two games?
Well, as you said, Friday night I thought was a heck of a hockey game, and it was two teams going toe to toe. Nick Kossoff had a strong net night for us, and I like that hockey team. That's a team in our league that's a measuring stick. They're an NCAA tournament team last year. They're led by some very good seniors and juniors, and a great goaltender in Jamie Phillips. So it's a team you want to measure yourself with. They've set the standard, or right near the standard, in our league the last few years there. And our guys were ready to play on Friday night. I thought we did a good job, and a lot of things you're concerned about, or we're concerned about, is it's a long first half coming off the Fairbanks trip. All those things are going in. So I liked our conditioning level. I liked our compete level. As you mentioned, I thought it was just a strong hockey game. We didn't give much up. It was very tight defensively both ways. We didn't generate as much as we wanted to or needed to, but it was a strong hockey game, and the defensive structure that needs to be in place for us was certainly there, and the goaltending was there. And so Friday night, you felt pretty good about it, and I think coming back again, we still felt like our conditioning level and our shape, we were fine. It wasn't a matter of energy or legs or things like that. As you mentioned, there was a stretch of 6-7 minutes that pucks ended up in the back of our net, and certainly not okay with that result, and disappointing result because of that. But you take away those few minutes, and it was good play overall. One of those games where you're like, for whatever reason, pucks up end up in the back of our net. We talked about the radio show on Monday that Rick Comley from the Blackhawks was here, and former coach Comley was in town, and he mentioned he was at a game at the Western Michigan Colorado College game, and it was a big score too. And same thing happened Friday night down there, that anything Western put to the net went in the back of the net, and it made it a lopsided scoring game, but it really wasn't it didn't look like that. It wasn't a 6-2 game, but things went in too easy for us early in that game, and in a disappointing result.
Yeah, it's the kind of game where you look at it after it's over, that second game, and you say, well, we had 14 underclassmen in the lineup. Michigan Tech's a really good team. As you said a moment ago, they played in the NCAA tournament last year. Alex Patan's as good a player as there is in the WCHA. He had 2 goals on the power play on Saturday night. We may have made some mistakes defensively. You'd have to look at, and you probably have, broken down film, and somebody missed coverage here and there, and they scored some goals they probably shouldn't have scored. After that, though, pretty darn even, and it's a tough loss to take, but it's the measuring stick, and it's where we know we have to get better at some things, and it gives you a good idea of what you need to work on.
Yeah, well, I thought after that it wasn't even really even. I thought we really controlled it and outchanced them, outplayed them. Probably a little bit was that their foot was off the pedal a little bit. They had a comfortable lead, and we made a push here or there to get that goal and make it interesting, and then our response, they scored. Every time we scored, they answered right back, and it took the momentum away. The thing to me that I really disliked was a minute, 12 or whatever it is into the game, we had one guy that I thought played way too off his game and poorly, and gave up an easy tap-in backdoor goal, and so it was just an individual mistake, and we felt like an individual who wasn't ready to play. The same individual was responsible for one of the other, I think their second or third goal as well. So you have to be ready to play no matter the situation, the time of year, whether it's a long semester or long for whatever it is. You have to be ready to play. College hockey is too tight, it's too competitive, and you have one guy off your game, and that's what happened. So that's the thing that really got me, is that we didn't feel like we were ready to play. Not everybody, not 20 guys, but whether it was 2 guys or 1 guy, that's not good enough. We need everybody, and we didn't. So that's hard to take a little bit, and it leaves a little bit of a sour taste after that stretch of great hockey. I think we were 4-1-2 or something coming into that game, or 4-1-3 or something along those lines. And so you're playing so well defensively. We were so good for that long stretch, and so it's a tough one to swallow there a little bit. But we're a good hockey team, and we're really excited for the second half, and we think we'll be better and better as our young guys, know a lot about college hockey now and more ready to play and finish the second half.
Yeah, and I think some positive things that came out even on Saturday night. You outshoot them, as we said, 37-20, which is pretty darn good against a good hockey team. I thought Gus Coriale scored one of the best goals I've seen in a long, long time. Just a great individual effort. And it was really nice to see Austin McKay get a goal, too. He's been working hard. He got that goalmouth scramble goal where you got to be a big body and just bang it past the goaltender. And those are two good goals.
Well, and I think, like you said about Austin, I mean, just the type of goal it was. Like that's got to be more of our bread and butter, and especially for, you know, Austin and his line and the way they play, like, you know, getting to that area, we talk about it all the time, get to the dirty area, pay the price, and love that goal. It was a great goal by the McKay-Schmidt-Johnson line just to play hard and heavy in that area. You know, Gus Coriales was a thing of beauty, you know, really a coast-to-coast goal with great speed, and turned, I think it was Jimmy Davis inside out on that play and scored a beautiful goal. So that was pretty to watch, and, you know, really a highlight goal of the first half.
Yeah, we had a breakaway chance there that didn't pan out for us. We thought there should have been a slashing penalty on the play, but that would have made it 5-3, and it could have been very interesting. Then it was still second period.
Yeah, I thought if we get that one, it really does, because as you said, you know, I thought they were really on their heels, and you know, we were controlling things, and we needed that one goal. Or on the other side, we needed that timely save, and really, again, Nick, I think their fourth goal had absolutely no chance, so it wasn't like the goalies didn't do it, but whether we got to execute right after the goal or a goalie does find a way to make a game-changing save, the timeliness of it, you know, to get that goal, to get the pushback and get some life and some energy, but then to have them respond, it really just kills you, though. Those momentum shifts that way are very difficult to handle. So didn't like, you know, our response after that, and part of that goes to that Michigan Tech team, you know, credit to them and what they did. But, you know, overall, it was a good first couple weeks. You know, we weren't really happy. We didn't find our defensive game. But once we got into our defensive game, you know, it was a really good stretch of hockey for us. And that's the expectation moving forward, to be great defensively every night, to have our offense and our power play continue to evolve. And it's going to be an interesting and enjoyable second half.
You know, the thing is, too, you've talked many times about this in the first half. We're not a team that can score goals whenever we want. So we really need to be solid defensively, and they got to get great goaltending to be in games. And I thought that game on Saturday night, that was a good example of that.
Exactly. You know, we're not going to score seven goals many nights to win a 7-6 hockey game. But you go through the Bowling Green series, the ties, I mean, one goal against there, and great goaltending, going to Bemidji, you know, the Northern Michigan shutout. I mean, that's who we are right now. And, you know, we want to, again, evolve from that. We want to continue to improve our offense. You know, our team D, I'm not sure where we fell to after that Saturday night game, but we were right up, you know, in a good spot nationally, and a huge improvement from almost being dead last year. You know, offense, again, it's improved a little bit from last year, but not enough. You know, you look at power play, it's improved almost double what it was last year. Penalty kill is significantly improved. So there's been a lot of areas that we've taken steps on and improved where we're at. But, you know, that offense, again, I think, you know, as we move forward, second half, our young guys will be a little bit more in tune with what it takes to be successful and how to take advantage of opportunities. Certainly a year or two down the road, you know, and you hear enough about our young guys there, but we're going to return the majority of our scoring. So I think, you know, we'd like it to turn around in 1 year, but it does take some time to kind of really change the composition of your team that way.
Yeah, well, young people are definitely the people on this team who are getting it done for us. We got a freshman defenseman in Owen Hedrick who gets better every game, and he's one of three players on this team who's played in every game for you this year. And Aiden Wright, there's a Sioux Ontario thing going on there. Aiden Wright's played in every game for you too, and he's had a few games where he's maybe not played as well as he did in others, but he's such a high character kid, and he's a very, very solid defenseman.
Well, I was shocked when I saw that. We talked again on Monday in the coach's show there, the radio show, that we've only had three guys play all games, you know, and that's difficult with your chemistry, especially when you're so young and you're still trying to establish some line pairings, some D pairings, power play units, penalty kill groups. So I've kind of forgotten how many, you know, really smaller injuries. Guys didn't miss significant time beyond Eric Draplick, but there's been injuries. You know, Nedendahl missed some games with suspension. Mitch Holtz got suspended for a game. So it wreaks havoc a little bit on weekend to weekend and game to game when you're making those changes, especially a guy like Holtz who's power play, penalty kill, you know, a top six forward. You know, so that is difficult. But Owen Hedrick, as you mentioned, has done a great job playing every game. We thought coming in as such a young kid there and coming from the NOJHL that, you know, he would be in and out a little bit, or maybe we'd dress 7D and spot him in until he got acclimated. But a real credit to the job he's done and the type of player he is to make the adjustment he's made to college hockey. As you said, you see game to game his confidence grow, his ability grow. He's a major threat from the offensive blue line, and we need that. So good job for him. And you mentioned Aiden Wright, another guy who's played 20 games. And I agree with you. I thought Aiden Wright early on was not playing at the level that he played at last year. And that's not uncommon when you come back for the second year. You think things might be easier, or your role's going to change, or you're just a different player. And it's really not the case. You got to be great at what you're great at the year before and build off in little branches and areas. But I think over the last 3-4 weeks, he's gotten back to the level that we expected him to be at and need him to be at. And, those two play, big minutes for us. And Aiden's doing a good job getting back to the level we need out of Aiden Wright.
Yeah, I thought another, you mentioned that line a few minutes ago, and with the McKay goal on Saturday night, that goalmouth scramble goal, a lot of hard work done there by Matt Johnson and by Bryce Schmidt on that goal. I thought Matt Johnson played pretty well. He's not a goal scorer. He doesn't have that offensive touch. Maybe he doesn't read things as well as some other people, but I thought he skated hard and he caused a lot of things to happen. He was hitting people. You could tell he wanted to stay in the lineup on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's what you charge a guy like those guys with who have been in and out. And it's frustrating. They want to play every night, and everybody wants to be an every night guy and play in those situations. But I thought their second, third period in particular was very good. When they kind of got through that first period, as you mentioned, that's the role we need those guys to play fast, to play heavy, to play hard. If they're going to be chipping in, that's going to be a huge secondary scoring line for us if they can continue to do that. So I really like their second, third period, and I think that's a real good, finishing point for them to have some individual meetings this week with the guys and let those guys know that's exactly what it's got to be every single night, that pace, that heaviness, that puck management that you had the second and third period of that game.
Okay, we'll take a break on Laker Hockey Talk here this morning. Always goes by in a hurry. We'll continue talking Laker hockey. We'll look at the Vermont tournament coming up after Christmas. We'll be right back on ESPN 1400. Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Wednesday morning here. It's our last show before the Christmas break. We'll be off for a couple of weeks here. We'll come back with this show on January the 6th. The Laker Hockey Show will resume on Monday, January the 4th. Want to remind you to listen to Hockey North with Randy Russin every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. too, and Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on WSOO every Saturday morning at 11. Lots of sports on the Sovereign Communications stations, and most of it is local coverage. Back into Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Damon, you got a tournament coming up in Burlington, Vermont. The number one difficulty there is just getting there to play the tournament. Not an easy trip, but it'll be a good challenge. Vermont, the first game, that'll be the second game actually on the first day, the 29th of December, and then on the 30th you'll play the afternoon game against Brown University, and we probably don't know a whole lot about these two teams, but it'll be a good challenge.
No, we don't, and that's sometimes the enjoyable part about some of these things. When you get out east or you get to a little bit different area where you don't have as much interaction with the teams that you're more commonly used to in the Midwest and the West. So our guys will enjoy it. It'll be very non-traditional. We're going to meet as a team in Toronto on the 26th or Boxing Day for our friends across the border or the bridge there, and we'll get a practice in there, and that's pretty sloppy. Guys are traveling and guys have been off for a few days there, so you just want to get a good hard skate, a good blow, and get them back into it. And then the next day, a lot of times we'll try to do a two-a-day type thing there, and we're still going to look at that if we can get two sessions on the 27th there, and then you get another good skate in the morning. Then the afternoon you get a little bit more of your special teams work done and your puck touches and your skills kind of back into your game there. So that's kind of how we'll address that. We'll make our way to Vermont on the 27th into Burlington, and we'll have a skate there the day before, and then the pregame skate that day, and face some good competition. And we've got the film exchanged already with them, so the coaches Rich and Doug and Ned are hard at work breaking down their tendencies and coming up with a game plan to put in place to face them.
Yeah, it'll be a Hockey East competition and an ECAC team there. I think Colgate's the other team that's involved. Lake Superior will not play against Colgate. It's kind of a two games, and then you try to figure out who wins the thing. It's just like last season at Christmas time down in Florida when we wound up shutting out Notre Dame 1-0 and won that tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the plan, obviously, to go down and get a big win. You know, I think Vermont set it up. It's not winner versus winner because they wanted to kind of dictate who they're playing and not have any crossovers with some of the other teams they face on their schedule. It's a fun format out there, an enjoyable format. You know, a little bit we talked about in Portland as well. It gives you a little sense of whether it's a WCHA Final Five or an NCAA tournament. You know, that's the goal of getting back to those levels. So to have two opponents on the weekend in a tournament setting with four teams around, it's a good experience and environment for our players to get used to as we're trying to shoot for those goals of WCHA Finals Fives and NCAA tournaments appearances.
Yeah, the only player that'll be missing from that tournament that can't play, there'll be some players missing, but Eric Draplock's out. He had that game-winning goal against Notre Dame in Florida. Kind of tough for him. It's been a really tough first half for that young guy.
Well, it has, you know, and I know he obviously had huge plans coming in. He, you know, I think probably by far our most experienced player by games played and, just his experience and what he means to this team. And last year, for sure, the experience he gained as well. So he was supposed to be a really big piece of our team. He's an assistant captain for us and a big part of what we're doing. So it's been a big loss and, maybe a little bit of a surprise the way we played that November, December stretch, playing only one senior defenseman. You know, Peter Spratty hadn't played a ton of games in the past. So, our team D was so good, and that was with two freshmen and three sophomores and then only the one senior most nights. And so probably wasn't the composition we thought in the back end coming into the season, but we're looking forward to Eric getting healthy and kind of, seeing what that means with that decor and how it reconfigures what we're doing.
Yeah, tough to get there, tough to figure out how to get the buses tied together and get everybody out to Burlington, but it'll give you a chance, too, to perhaps somebody will get in the lineup who doesn't normally play. You're going to take almost everybody there, and it'll be interesting, and then you're going to come back. You're going to let guys kind of go their own way. You don't really have to be back in the saddle again. There are no classes here till the 19th of January. You don't want to bring them back and have them sitting around the townhouses for a couple of weeks, so you're going to let them go to Toronto, go to Detroit, go home for a little bit, come back, get ready for Bowling Green. I would think January 3rd might be let's get back at it.
You know, exactly right. There's that off weekend with the midweek games. There's a few off days, and as you mentioned, there's no huge rush to get back here. Guys can split off and then spend a little bit more time with family or with some teammates in some of those areas, wherever they. We will have a couple guys come up in town, and we'll have ice available and workouts going on, everything like that. But for the most part, they'll get a chance to unwind a little bit more and hopefully have a good couple days there and celebrate a championship is the goal for sure. And then we'll get back to work Sunday evening, the 3rd, as you mentioned. Everybody will kind of make their way back up here, and we'll have a long week of practice or a heavy week of practice preparing for that homestand and getting back to WCHA play.
Yeah, it's going to be big, too. Bowling Green comes in on the 8th and 9th of January, and the following weekend, it's Alaska Anchorage. Those are games we want to get some points in. There's no doubt about it. We'll be at home. We won't have students here. We'll try to encourage. We'll try to do some things to stir up the crowd a little bit, remind everybody we're playing, and get as many people from the Twin Sioux into this building. We've had great crowds. That was another thing this past weekend. We didn't mention that on Monday. I thought we had really good crowds on Friday and Saturday nights against Tech.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think we've done it all year long, and that's been a little bit of a frustrating part from our perspective, or my perspective, is not giving our home fans, more victories and more to build onto. I think, as you talk to people, they're enjoying some certain parts and the style of play. And, on Saturday night, that we never gave up. We continue to push and pound. But we want to capitalize for our home crowd. So we do understand that, and we're working to make sure we're better on our home ice. But I agree. Our fans have been terrific. The attendance is up, and we appreciate that. And we're continuing to work hard to make sure we make this a tough place to play for the opponents coming in. Part of that's on the ice. A lot of it's up in the stands as well with the crowd noise and the activity up there. We hope people keep coming out here. And as you mentioned on break, it's always a little bit more difficult with the students gone. So we'll be working to coming up with some things to try to get some people out here. Bowling Green's a top 20 ranked team. They've got a good team. I thought the games down there, Bill, as you know, were very good hockey games. Heavy, physical, fast-paced. They're great in their building and their rink, and we've matched up well. I mean, they haven't lost much in their arena or tied many games. They have a, I think, think, a pretty large undefeated streak, or maybe one loss and 10 and 12 and then three or four ties. And we're two or three of those going back to last year when we beat them. So it's a team that we've matched up with decently, but they're at the top of the league and we've got to take advantage of this home ice.
Yep. Bowling Green will be in here. That'll be the next WCHA series. We'll have both games out in Vermont for you on Yes FM as well. So tune those in. Damon, this time flies by pretty quickly. We're out of time here this morning. We want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. We'll talk to them after the New Year. Happy New Year as well. And it's been a good first half, and it's gone by in a hurry.
Oh, it has. It has for sure. I think we're kind of shocked sitting here. You know, it's go, go, go. You know, for the last three, 4 months, there's really not, a day off. Sunday, you get a little bit of breathing space, but you kind of crash and be like, holy smokes, it's Christmas. But we definitely want to wish everybody Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank everybody for their support, and we're looking forward to that January stretch to get back home and show all of our fans how hard we worked and where we're headed with Laker hockey.
All right, it's going good. We'll get out of here for a couple of weeks. We'll be back your way on January 6th with another Laker Hockey Talk. And for Damon Whitten, Bill Crawford saying so long till next time on Laker Hockey Talk.